some researchers in Wisconsin are sounding the alarm after a U.S. Supreme Court ruling ended some science and health grants. It's Tuesday, August 25th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, recent disasters have underscored a need for more shelters in Milwaukee, and Milwaukee's public schools look to rebuild the public's trust. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
Some Wisconsin researchers are sounding the alarm after a U.S. Supreme Court ruling ended some science and health grants. Anya Van Wagtendonk explains.
Beginning in the early days of President Donald Trump's second term, the National Institutes of Health began terminating research grants for studying things like gender, diversity, or health outcomes for specific populations. Last week, the Supreme Court said those terminations could continue. Karen Frick is a neuroscientist at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. The court decision ends a program that she ran supporting undergraduate research into the effects of aging.
In theory, there shouldn't be anything particularly political about aging. We all get old, and aging is a tough process.
The Supreme Court ruling affects about 40 projects at the Universities of Wisconsin and the Medical College of Wisconsin. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Some federal offices in Wisconsin remain open even after the Department of Government Efficiency targeted them for termination. The initiative, formerly led by billionaire Elon Musk, had proposed canceling leases for 16 offices in the state earlier this year. The cancellations affected office space for agencies including the Social Security Administration and Defense Contract Management Agency, among others. But some lease terminations have since been revoked. That includes the Bureau of Indian Affairs office in Ashland. Bill Broidrick represents the building's owner. He says Wisconsin tribes adopted a resolution in opposition to its closure.
On that basis, the decision was made by the Bureau of Indian Affairs to keep the office open.
Lease terminations have also been revoked for offices housing the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and Federal Highway Administration in Madison. Recent disasters have highlighted the need for more emergency shelters in Milwaukee. Evan Casey has more.
A deadly apartment fire in the spring and recent flooding after historic rainfall left many people without homes or places to stay. 50 people impacted by flooding are still staying at a Red Cross of Wisconsin shelter set up at a school. The shelters provide a warm meal and a place to stay, as well as caseworkers to help people get back on their feet. Katherine Rabenstein is the CEO of Red Cross of Wisconsin. She says they have 14 sites in the city, but
what we're seeing is a lot of the home fires and a lot of the impact from the flooding in Milwaukee happened on the north side. We only have two of those shelter locations on the north side, and they're temporary shelter locations.
Local and state leaders are asking not-for-profit agencies in places like churches to consider opening up their buildings to use as shelters. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A judge in Oneida County has dismissed criminal defamation charges against a Northwoods brewery owner. Kirk Bangstad owns Minocqua Brewing Company and the affiliated Minocqua Brewing Company Super PAC. He was arrested in October and charged with defamation after posting a manipulated image of a Minocqua newspaper publisher. Bangstad and the publisher have been embroiled in a years-long feud. In 2023, a jury fined Bangstad $750,000 after the publisher won a civil defamation trial. That case stemmed from false claims Bangstad posted online. In a separate case, the publisher is also suing Bangstad in federal court. Bangstad still faces harassment charges after police say he violated the terms of his bond by shouting at the publisher from across the street at the brewery. Coming up, a look at efforts to change the public's opinion of the embattled Milwaukee Public School District. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
And finally, Milwaukee Public Schools hired a new superintendent last spring after its previous leader resigned amid the fallout of a financial scandal. Corrine Hess reports on efforts to rebuild trust in Wisconsin's largest school district.
Up a little closer, we got some seats up here, bring a chair.
A few months after she took over as superintendent of Milwaukee Public Schools, Brenda Casilius stood in front of a small gathering of staff and parents at Congress Middle School on the city's west side. It was July. The room was hot. Casilius had already put in a 12-hour day. But she knew this community outreach event was the most important meeting on her agenda.
I am doing these tours because I think that this is an important way to hear from the different parts of the city around the hopes and dreams for your schools.
Those hopes and dreams ranged from hiring more teachers and support staff to improving the food in the cafeterias. But for some parents in the district, the bigger question is why they should keep sending their kids to Milwaukee Public Schools. Kate Spivak has been a teacher in the district for 9 years. At the listening session, she said her husband wants them to move out of the city. She wants to stay. Her son starts school with the district next week.
So I have several hopes and dreams. I want him to stay in MPS. I want him to stay all the way through. Yes, I want him to go to high school. State of things right now, I don't know if that's going to be the case.
When Casilius took over as superintendent in March, she knew one of her toughest jobs would be changing the public's opinion of the embattled district.
I can't come in just with big plans. I need to make those big plans with the community. I've said all along that this is going to be community-led and community-driven, and these listening sessions are a way to be able to demonstrate that to the community.
Casilius arrived in Milwaukee after the school district faced one of its most tumultuous years in recent history. Just 1 month after voters narrowly passed a referendum, financial mismanagement by former Superintendent Keith Posley was revealed. The state withheld millions of dollars in state funding, prompting Posley's resignation. Governor Tony Evers also ordered 2 independent audits. Both produced damning results. Milwaukee has long struggled with declining enrollment, rising absenteeism, and financial deficits, but the controversial referendum and the challenges that followed have damaged the district. Longtime education activist Howard Fuller says he has never seen MPS in as weak of a political position as it is today.
That referendum and the incompetence and the deceit that surrounded it eroded support for MPS in places where you would normally have very strong support.
Casilius believes her upbringing and past experiences allow her to connect with Milwaukee families. The district is more than 75% minority. More than 83% of families are economically disadvantaged. Casilius grew up in public housing with a single mother, and she herself was a single mother for years. She put herself through college with a Pell Grant for low-income students.
And so that's how I've made my life choices in my career and in my purpose for being on this earth, is to wake up every day and make a difference for children and their families.
Today, Casilius keeps colorful poster boards in her conference room covered with notes. They're the hopes and dreams people shared during the 9 summer listening sessions. The new superintendent says those meetings weren't about increasing enrollment, rather making things better for the families already in Milwaukee. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Our thanks to WPR's Corrine Hess for bringing us that story. Quick check of your forecast before letting you go for the day. Mostly sunny today, just a little bit warmer than the past few days, with highs topping out in the upper 60s and low 70s with no rain expected. Overnight, a few clouds here and there, but once again, no rain, with lows down into the 40s. And that'll do it for this Tuesday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crowe, and our producers today were Courtney Everett and John Davis. As always, have a fantastic rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.